Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. To my left,
just trying not to sneeze, Bryce
itchy,
Armstrong.
Itchy oh my nose boy.
Oh my gosh, I was trying not to sneeze. To my front turd.
Front turd?
To my Andrew.
Front turd.
Front turd?
I'm Andrew McKinley. And to my left turd.
I'm only moderately offended, Brett Welty. And to my left, because I respect him too much.
Jim Cole.
We're back for
Do you have something in your throat?
No, I was trying to get fart noises. Oh. We don't have that on our tablet yet.
On our thing that doesn't exist.
Our soundboard.
No. Don't have that.
Why not?
Do you know who we are?
Yes. And this is our third week in a row. You wouldn't know that though.
Nope. You're still gonna get this every other week.
But we love it. Because we love doing it so much.
We do.
Which I do. I actually do. I'm not even being sarcastic, so. Actually,
definitely sounded sarcastic.
It just always sounds sarcastic.
Oh, yeah. Just always.
It's like, oh, yeah, I love pizza. It's literally his favorite food.
Too bad I can't have it that much now.
Oh, because of the gluten or the cheese?
Because,
Elijah
can't have it, so we're not having it.
Because only two of the three main ingredients cannot be eaten by your child.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's probably something in the sauce, so you probably went over three.
Yeah.
It's all got sugar in it.
Over three. Exactly. That's all right.
What about a burger?
I'd have to make it myself.
Okay, cool.
Which make it yourself. It just tastes great. Really good. I'm learning how to cook.
If you did a gluten-free crust, you could do a none pizza left beef.
What did you say?
None pizza left beef. Someone ordered that from Domino's one time. So it's a pizza with no sauce, no cheese, and
this is baked bread and beef.
It's just bread and the bits of hamburger on one side.
I've always heard of like a vegan pizza which has no cheese. It's like sauce. I'm eating pasta.
You ever see those guys? They'll scrape everything off the top of it and just eat the toppings. That's always interesting.
Ooh.
Strange.
People that can't have bread or don't want bread.
Well,
I don't hang out with.
We call them not friends of the podcast.
Just kidding. We love you.
I guess if you want to do that, we know a couple of therapists. They could probably help you.
Yeah. They should help us first.
Why do you do that? Is there something in your past that you need to talk about?
What happened in your childhood? Who hurt
you? Why do you scrape the good stuff off? Strange.
Andrew.
Yeah.
What you got for us?
I'm going to do some would you rathers.
Okay. Ooh.
It's been a while.
Okay. I like a good would you rather.
You know the best place to find those is?
The
Teen
Internet?
Vogue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look.
Like MTV.
Adult Vogue is too much for me. Yeah. So teens about
this is straight up youth group nonsense right now is what we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
So first on the list. In your circle, would you rather be known as the person with the bad smelling feet or the bad breath?
Oh,
I have both.
Yeah, pick one.
I probably am known for my bad breath because of all the coffee, so maybe I could just stay ignorant and I'll stay breath.
I do have bad breath, so I'm just going to stay with what I know I already
feet.
Have.
Feet.
What? Really?
Yeah. I can hide that.
I was going to say, can we mask
that's
it?
That's what I was thinking.
I can hide. I can put my shoes on.
Yeah. I can very easily hide my bad breath. I stand further away from you. And when some of you lean in, I lean further back like this.
I don't have a bubble, so I get really close to Brett.
I say there's always those people that are real close.
It's your loss.
As we all know, Brett is a hugger. So
he wants to spit his coffee.
I am not a hugger. Not as a rule.
You've hugged me before.
I'm not against it. I just don't think of it.
I'm a hugger.
It's not an instigator.
It's not in his quick draw.
No.
It's not one of
the six.
I hug
my children, but anyone else, weird.
That's true.
I'm kidding.
I was not a hugger, and then I married into the Armstrong family.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet Brad's a hugger.
Oh, all of us.
All
of us.
The whole crew. Huh?
And I realized, I am one. I just wasn't in a family of them at first. Am I touch starved? Do I have trauma because I wasn't...
We know a couple therapists. We just talked about that. You want to go talk to one?
What happened in your childhood?
what didn't happen?
Didn't is the more pressing question, apparently. All right. Let's move on to the next question. Would you rather be able to travel back in time 1 minute or forward in time 1 minute to tell yourself something?
Mm. One forward. Minute?
Yeah, 1 minute.
Forward in time. I'd like to know what I'm going to do. Or not do.
So if I go back in time, wait, what?
Most of the time, 1 minute backwards, so I can say, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that joke you think is going to nail?
Not going to fly.
Not going to fly.
Just stop. Just stop while you're ahead.
You're about to lose social credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're going back in time, you're telling yourself something.
The better question is, what could you even use a minute in the future for?
You could... find out from yourself what you did that was dumb.
Well,
you're about to do is dumb.
I could
try this joke out. Let's ask the guy a minute ahead if it worked out.
Yes, yes, yes. Gotcha. Exactly.
I could see some use in it being someone who's like, sometimes I can be told a thing and then within a minute I have forgotten the thing. And it does not matter if it's important or not. Sometimes my brain's just like, oops, nope. I don't have that anymore. I dropped it. Sorry.
Oopsie.
Those of you listening should go check out Andrew's bio on our website.
Opa.
Plug our website, outsiderstudios.com. You'll find a funny tidbit of why that's
true.
Check
it out.
1 minute before, I would never forget somebody's name that I just met. I could just go back.
Do that all the time.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That might be
that's
pretty slick.
Great point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, you from the past shows up. It was Greg.
How did you know to come back again? Maybe it's 1 minute in the future. Like, you're going to forget this. I'm just going to go ahead and
let's be honest.
That would have helped me.
Yeah, also, aren't you doing both? If you're traveling,
oh my gosh, if you're are doing both.
If you're talking to yourself,
wow.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh,
mindset.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's get into time space paradox. Yay.
Wait, isn't it when you go travel in time, you're not even supposed to talk to yourself or see yourself? So isn't this like.
Wow.
It depends on which school of thought.
Are you a Back to the Future guy or are you an Avengers Infinity War guy? That's nuts.
We're talking about some Star Trek Prime Directive stuff here.
Oh, you act like I watch Star Trek.
Everybody knows what that is.
What's Star Trek.
That's when you can't give a lightsaber to somebody that's not ready for it.
That's right. It'll throw off their natural development.
Was it those tubes they put in their nose to breathe out in the sand?
Yes.
Obviously.
I was talking about
obviously. Yeah.
That's also right. that reclaims your water that you breathe out of your nose. It's not for breathing. It's for when you're thirsty later, you can drink your nose water.
Okay, so what's the next question you have on your would you rather?
Nose water?
Throw up.
Nose water.
It's like a filter.
Would you rather uncontrollably and unpredictably break into song or unexpectedly lose your voice?
Oh, song. I'll break
into
song.
I always unexpectedly lose my voice.
Jim's like, no musicals for me.
Oh,
I hate musicals.
I would love to be in a musical. I can't sing at all, but I don't care. It'd be so much fun. Brandon?
No.
Brandon.
I already kind of break into song sometimes.
I lose my voice all the time.
Not every musical. Not every musical is bright and bubbly. There are some dark ones.
Well, like
just
cats.
For you.
Cats sucks. Oh, man.
Sorry. I have strong opinions about cats.
Like the new cats.
Oh, gross.
I mean, I have an outside cat now, so.
Do you feed it?
Named Ribs.
Oh, you don't, but someone in your family does.
My wife has like 3 outside cats. Hey,
I drove by your house today and saw a cat outside your house.
We feed them all. We feed the raccoons, the possums.
I don't have those.
Squirrels, the birds. We feed them all.
Whatever's in your yard.
Yeah, we feed them all.
You want to tease those raccoons? Feed them some cotton candy because they wash it first.
That's funny.
Like, oh, no. What happened?
Ooga.
Oh, let's hit another. All right. Would you rather have like a bouncy effect with everything you touch or never be able to jump again? So like anything you touch,
never jump. I can't jump. Never jump. You. Never jump.
Never jump.
I don't care. Right.
I essentially never jump now. And I have exactly, a fully functioning life. So I would go that way.
Why would I want everything to boing?
I do like jump rope.
You like grab
kind of funny.
Like trying to grab a coffee cup and it just flies away from your hand.
Boing. Well, is this like a superpower though?
No, it's just bouncy.
Sounds like a detriment. It's not a power.
It's a disability.
Yeah, exactly.
My brain right away went to the nerdy stuff and I was like, well, they got rid of the jump in a lot of video games like 20 years ago.
That's true.
No one complained that much.
That's true.
Now they've brought them back, but still, for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can climb buildings now.
Yeah. For a little while, they're like, you know what? We don't need a jump button. No one ever jumps in real life.
It's true.
Go on, those athletic
except
people.
Mario. Everyone was like, Mario needs to keep jumping.
Yes.
That only makes sense.
Anyway, you got, this five, one, you this got one, 5 minutes.
This one's just for Bryce. I mean, everyone can answer, but it's so very much for Bryce. Would you rather be constantly sticky or constantly itchy?
There's a lot of side effects itchy, to itchy.
Yeah. Sticky is terrible.
I'd go with itchy, yeah. Sticky or itchy?
Yeah.
I hate being itchy.
I know.
Sticky is almost as bad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
My skin's crawling just thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. You're feeling this question.
Oops.
Nothing makes me madder than if I pick up something that's sticky that I didn't expect to be sticky. There's right? nothing that makes me right? madder.
You're a dad, yeah. too.
But I hate it. I grab a spoon. I'm like, are you kidding me? This just came out of the drawer.
It's got like...
Who used it and put it back?
It's got like 4 pieces of rice on it. Like,
did you just breathe on it? How are you so... And also, why are you all... You got up 20 minutes ago. How are you sticky already?
It happens.
Like, I don't know. What are you touching to be sticky? We hide the honey from you.
The floor.
Oh, I'm going sticky. I'm
what
sorry.
If you itch? What if you itch so much you itch through your skin?
That's what do you think about that, Bryce?
You can
think
be
about
itchy,
going down to a second
scratch.
Layer of your epidermis. Think about it. Just think about like having a lower. Thinking on one part of your
I'm
arm.
I'm sweating so bad right now.
That some people.
Let me get a cotton ball. We'll dry you off.
But some people.
Did you need to talk somebody?
Do you need to talk to someone? We have a therapist on call.
What's his name?
Bill. Oh.
send me my bill.
It's for me. No, I mean, because some people get erratic and then they would itch so bad that they would just go crazy.
That's just called meth.
Or my dog, like 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost tried to lick a hole in her skin.
Oh, Pearl's done that too. Down. My dog.
Yeah.
I don't like
you know. You know,
I do know
I'll
be itchy. I do know your dog. What's the next one you got?
Okay.
Hey.
Right. Would you rather have everything you eat be just a little too sweet all the time or anything that should be sweet and be not quite sweet enough?
So like Mexican desserts? Not quite sweet enough. Totally.
That's what Mexican desserts are. They're just not sweet.
But that means that like you get a bowl of ice cream and you take a bite and it just tastes a little too much like just plain milk.
I'm lactose intolerant.
All right, fine.
So I can't eat
dairy free ice cream.
You get a chocolate bar. What kind of dark chocolate
bitter.
Do you like? What percentage?
Dark chocolate.
What kind of percentage?
Oh, like 90.
You like 90? So yeah. This is like straight cacao nibs.
So
like what I have in my cupboard. It tastes like cough syrup.
Yes.
That's cooking chocolate.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so there's like zero sweet in it at this point, probably.
Mm. I think that'd be a more compelling question if it was too sweet or too salty.
Is it
easier to answer?
That. Is it still the same texture
too
as chocolate,
salty.
Though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the textures stay the same.
Well, then I'm fine.
So like, let's say
get used to it.
You get a Pepsi.
I wish when I got COVID, I lost my taste, so I would have lost some weight. It would have been nice to like not taste anything.
Oh, no, I lost my taste, and guess what? Didn't lose weight.
I lost my sense of taste.
That's
and
a self-control thing.
How very much I depended on like getting happiness from food when I had COVID because I was like, that's what kicked in like the like depressive moments was like eating stuff and being really sad. And I'm like, oh, I have a really, really toxic relationship with food.
So what changed?
Nothing.
I could taste again. Well, I don't know what the question is.
I was not supposed to be a zinger at you, by the way.
I'm
like,
just curious.
Nothing. Thanks, Bryce. Where's the number for that guy?
Let me pull it up. I put it in the show notes.
No, I started fasting. I started fasting after that. Like,
oh, good.
Because I was like, oh, this is bad.
Good.
Because I hadn't really done any fasting until then.
Ever?
Not a lot. I mean, I do it like when we talk about it at church, I'd try it once, but like I could never make it like a habit. Do you say lint?
Yeah.
Yeah, like from your belly button. Sorry.
Just all as right. biblical.
My COVID experience was always the paranoia. But we don't have to talk
You
about
were
COVID.
Paranoid when you had COVID.
You're still paranoid. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Not like that.
I'm gonna edit some of that out.
Yeah, okay. Give us another one.
You're getting one more. Okay. Make it a good one.
This is everyone gets to have a little hot take here if they want. For the rest of your life, you can only watch one movie or you can only eat the same food.
Oh my god.
Same food all day.
I just wouldn't watch the movie.
Same.
I could go without watching a movie. You can go without movies, yeah. So I want variety in my food.
Hmm.
I am the same.
Can I change the recipe? Can I change the recipe of the food?
No, it's the same dish. Like same measurement of ingredients.
Is it good food or is it
same
bad
prep
food?
Time?
So yeah,
like if I said pizza, it can only be frozen Hawaiian.
If it's so, Jack's, I'm down. I don't care.
No, so ew. you could literally,
I'll be fine.
You woke up and chose violence. Sorry. So go ahead.
It could be like your favorite pizza from your favorite place.
Okay.
If you say pizza. But it's just that same pizza every meal, every day.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Could the movie be The Bodyguard starring Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston?
I think so.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think you're right. That's a good one.
It's like, no, okay. If you pick Bodyguard, you get Waterworld. We're not sure why. There's a little glitch in that one.
Do you have side effects from eating the same thing?
Could I eat the same thing and lose weight?
Oh, yes.
You know, let's say no to the side effects. So, like... Okay.
Do you have side effects from watching the movie?
No, so let's say like...
Depression?
Yeah, I mean, if
sadness?
You,
anxiety?
If you picked ice cream, you're going to die soon. Okay. Like, because all you're doing is eating ice cream. Yes.
There's no nutrient.
Ever tell about my buddy that says his dad blames the Schwann's man for his diabetes? Because
he would always
bring ice cream to the farm.
Well,
and he would buy it and eat ice cream after every dinner.
Oh, Schwann's.
Again, that might be a self-control thing. Zing!
They were persuasive.
Got him.
Dude, the freezer was packed.
Man.
Full of Schwann's.
Did we choose?
I didn't choose.
I chose watch the same movie.
Yeah, I'm totally there.
No.
Same food.
I'm struggling so hard.
Don't worry. I didn't answer one. You guys didn't even know it. So.
I'm not a
but big... Wait. I can watch TV guy, still?
So... Yeah, you can still watch TV.
Oh, just
if a movie comes on, it ends up being the one you picked.
Ooh.
Same movie. Then I don't care. I watch more TV than I watch movies. So,
well,
I think again, it shouldn't be movie. It should be you have to stream the same content or the same meal. Ooh. I think I can handle monotony in food less than monotony. Well, I don't know.
You can only stream the Sci-Fi Channel.
Nope.
The bad movies. They're really, really crappy.
Like the Tremors 4 and on.
Sharknado.
Tremors 4, still underground.
By that point, they're flying, which is crazy.
Tremors 7, Sharknado. New society.
Yes.
Sharknado.
We look for loopholes.
That's true.
Always.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
How can I get around this?
Yeah.
Right?
Always.
That's my life.
That's like human nature, right?
What can I get away
with? Like, what can I do to get can both? I avoid consequences?
But still, so do the same thing, better consequences, same story. Nope.
I'll do food.
Okay,
because I could just eat like noodles or something, like some
a
like
lot
some
of carbs,
like some pho.
but that's
tofu.
That's
I mean,
tofu.
If it's a rounded out meal, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, like,
getting all your food groups and stuff.
Yeah,
everything. Get all the
you
nutrients.
You didn't get fruits or veggies.
Get some Vietnamese.
Yeah, you veggies. Absolutely get veggies and pho.
You got veggies. You didn't get fruit.
No fruit.
You don't need fruit.
You don't need
I'm
fruit.
Living proof. You don't need to eat fruit every day.
I can't remember the last time I ate a fruit.
That's why I have scurvy.
I'm missing your teeth.
I don't eat oranges. Well, I do eat oranges.
That's good.
If you drink like one Mountain Dew a month, you get enough vitamin C to avoid scurvy. So like,
that's good. I drink like a Mountain
what
Dew.
What a low bar.
Three, four times.
What a low bar to get.
It doesn't need to be a lot.
Scurvy away.
But I get 64 grams of sugar.
Yes.
Once a month.
Diabetes. Maybe
on a while,
or a week.
A week. So, yeah.
All right. How are you transitioning? That
it? That's it.
Nice.
Now the listeners know a little bit about us.
So speaking about not eating a single fruit for a week.
Oh, our series. So we are in our series. We are in part two of Deep Roots in Dark Soil. We are hitting faithfulness and goodness tonight. So these fruits grow slowly and they're tested deeply. And they resist the pull of a world that teaches us to give up and grow cold. So let's hit point number one, which would be faithfulness. So faithfulness, remaining steadfast through spiritual droughts. So faithfulness, it's slow, it's quiet, and it's often unseen. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So key thoughts about faithfulness. One would be faithfulness means showing up when it would be easier to quit. Two, it's not measured by visible success, but by steady trust and obedience over time. Christopher J.H. Wright writes that faithfulness is not measured by visible success, but by steady trust and obedience over time. Even when prayers feel empty and results seem invisible, true faithfulness is being forged. So Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So here's a truth to remember. Our faithfulness rests on his faithfulness. Christian Elizabeth Couch writes that the slow seasons, the silent seasons, these are not wasted. These are the soil of a steadfast heart. So faithfulness, it grows in hidden places, and it lasts because it grows deep, not wide. There we go. Faithfulness. What do you all think?
We're done.
We're done.
Check.
End of speech.
Check mark.
I think faithfulness has a lot to do with our motivation. Why are we being faithful? I mean, am I being faithful so I can get stuff? Because the dry seasons are going to be really hard.
Mm-hmm. I don't think faithfulness is about receiving. I think it's about almost withstanding the times that come against us. Maybe it's just knowing of a hope that is to come. Maybe, and that it obviously isn't a material thing. But
so I got to ask this question. What are we being faithful to? And I know it's obvious, but I want to ask it.
The Lord. I mean, we need to be faithful to what he's called us to. We need to be faithful. I mean, there's so many things to be faithful to in general. I mean,
right,
our spouses, our family.
Yeah, but we're specifically talking about
the Lord.
Faithful to God.
Yes.
Faithful in our walk.
Yeah.
Not to say we won't make mistakes, but we get back in there. What those dry times, right? We're not getting what we want. Things aren't going our way. Not hearing.
What's interesting about doing them the way we're doing them is we started with self-control, which we talked a lot about. That's not just self-discipline. You know, it's a spiritual gift. And faithfulness can be a lot of the same way because we don't call it discipline, but isn't the way we view faithfulness is like sticking it out, gutting it out. Even if it's hard, keep doing it, and then you're faithful. And that's true, but where does the power to be faithful come from? Again, it's the same thing. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So true faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. So we're faithful because of that. I think I said it in the sloth episode about faithfulness versus fruitfulness. It, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean when I said that, it was a very narrow point to say we do bear fruit. That's not what's in question, but the amount of fruit we bear is not rooted in our if faithfulness and fruitfulness don't necessarily equate, but we still bear fruit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. So if we are tasked with being faithful in something, so I would say, you could say the gift of faith, as in faith in Christ, being a gift of the Holy Spirit, or faithfulness, being faithful to the tasks set before us, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. These things are also not things that we generate in our own willpower. It's a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. So, which means if it's a gift, we can ask for more. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to be faithful. This season is very, very dry. I want to quit. I want to give up. I want to stop. But God, I know you've called me to more. Please give me more grace to be faithful.
See, if it's a fruit, then it's a reaction to what's already happened. It's so we were, earlier you were saying, like, you know, don't see it as faith because I want to get something. It's faith because it's already done. I'm faithful because he already saved my soul.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's every fruit is a response and a reaction to God because it's his presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy Spirit in us is what makes that fruit grow. So it is a reaction. I'm not talking about like a you decide reaction. I'm talking about an allergy. It's like it's something that just like appears on you once the Holy Spirit is present.
Mm-hmm. Was it Paul that said, I love because he first loved me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that.
It's John.
It's John.
John.
Was it first John?
You guys are killing me.
Thank you.
I know you're fine, but I couldn't
remember where it came from. But
First John.
I was like, yes, that is in the Bible.
You're right. 100%. 100%.
And I think so. Speaking to what you're saying is this reaction. And I think when you really, truly love someone, you're going to strive to be faithful in whatever that means along the way.
So here's a question. Why can we see faithfulness as slow and not necessarily getting it right away? Why can we see it as slow? I would say I see faithfulness as slow because it cultivates over the period of our life rather than an instant moment. It takes time to continue. Well, it takes time to continue to be faithful. I don't think it's you get to an echelon where you're like, well, I'm faithful always. And there's going to be, our seasons are going to challenge us to stay faithful and to keep pushing through, not by our will, but by like our love for God. We want to stay faithful because we know that he has done good things for us and that he continues to do good things and for what we need, not necessarily for what we want.
I think that's one way to see faithful, but I think it can also be quick. Mm-hmm. If it's something unexpected that you're being called to, yeah, and you need to drop everything and forget your own dreams and goals right now for a minute,
yeah,
and get there.
Seems like it ebbs and flows.
So that's like the faster faithful. And I think there is also the slower faithful. It's like the wife waiting for her soldier to come home. You know, it's the long wait and sticking through it. But I think it can go either way. It can be quick or it can be and sudden. Or it can be the slow burn.
Yeah.
You know, we get tempted, but we determine that we're going to be faithful. Mm-hmm. So we don't succumb to that. So that's kind of instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But faithful itself really is doing that not once, but 200 times.
Mm.
It's all the time. Mm. Then it's faithfulness. Doing it once,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you have to do it every minute.
Yeah.
That's good. I was going to say.
End of thought.
No.
Edit.
I think that's a really good thing to say. When you guys were talking about that, I was thinking about just how the character of each spiritual fruit does seem different. I think we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we talked about the seven deadly sins, we talked about how they seem to be different. And faithfulness is, maybe we just expect it to be long term, because wouldn't you also argue that like joy should be a long-term fruit. Peace should be a long-term fruit. So, but I think the word faithful implies in the way we understand faith as a long-term thing, and being faithful and having faithfulness is ultimately tested over time. It's not necessarily tested by circumstance, or it's multiple circumstances over time. So we could say, hey, my joy is low now, but it ultimately doesn't affect my life. But if my faithfulness is low, I'm making shipwreck of my faith potentially, or of my life.
Yeah.
So it does feel like faithfulness is perceived as a long game. And I think it is. And I think it's important to remember that if we want to finish well in the Christian life, We have to live well along the way. And I think that's what faithfulness speaks to. We need to be faithful along the way. It doesn't mean we're perfect.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we don't stumble. And it doesn't mean that the Lord's not in it, because obviously it's a fruit. But the goal of faithfulness is a lifetime of faith.
As we're talking, I'm putting some things together. I want to see what you think. But so faithfulness takes patience. Patience takes self-control. So it seems like some of these are intertwined with, well, they're all intertwined with one another. But yeah, like if I think of being faithful, I think of there are going to be times I have to be patient, because it's, I'm going to, things are going to push at me from left to right, and I'm going to need self-control to continue to stay patient and to stay faithful. So it's like, it's really interesting how all these are like intertwining together. It takes all these things to get to the, to love, right? To love God and love our neighbors and to love the hard people in our life. So it's like we need all these things to get to that, which would be hopefully the goal, is to love.
Second Peter builds it that way when it talks about make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So it does build up. And so, and it also seems like it's a tricky thing. We don't want to just go hard at these specific words and say these are the only fruit that exist, or, I mean, it's a robust picture of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not necessarily every attribute that we will have. Or even that every attribute that other authors use, but the idea is the same. All of the good that we get comes from God. All of the not good was there when it started, and we're still bringing it back again and again. And I think that's the biggest thing we want to take away, is that these things are gifts. And when Ephesians 5 says to be filled with the Spirit, this is the stuff that we're being filled with. It's not necessarily powerful manifestations of the Spirit to be able to read minds, or maybe not even to heal all the time. I think a normal run-of-the-mill filling of the Spirit is, I have love for a hard person.
Mm-hmm.
I am gentle when I'm normally harsh. I am faithful when I'd rather bail out. I mean, these are the manifestations of the Spirit that are common. It's not to say that the other things that we see as manifestations of the Spirit don't exist. We're not having that debate tonight, nor should we. But I would say, if you're thinking, I've never healed somebody, or I've never spoken in tongues, I'd say, okay, but have you seen growth in self-control?
Mm-hmm.
Have you loved someone that was harder? And then all of a sudden, now we're talking about like a filling that more and more Christians would say, I have experienced that.
Yeah, well, it's the result of a faithful life.
Right.
Seeking after God and seeking after his character to become more like him.
Right.
I think we talked about, I was going back through our library, and we talked about a rule of life.
Oh, yeah.
And how we want to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did, right? We talked about that a little bit because, I mean, I'm a John Mark Comer guy, right? But I think those are practical things that we should be striving for. And I think because of the influx of information and the hot clips that come that only show these big manifestations of healings and prophecy, I think we belittle the ordinary work that goes on in our lives. And we forget that part, the thing that we all go through and the thing that we all cultivate every day, can lead to those bigger epic moments, right? It's not saying that those things won't happen, but we can't forget where we came from. We can't forget those things. We can't forget that, hey, I'm going home after this moment, and I'm going to live my ordinary life again. And we have to be okay with the ordinary. And then we only want the extraordinary moments.
That's it's hard to live on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the thought that we're all created for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we want to skip over that the primary purpose everyone has, and that's to love God and love the people around us. And that's hard work. That's pulling weeds, and that's tedious and discouraging sometimes. But I think we want to skip over that and have the big moment.
The viral moment, right? But, so on to goodness. Are we good with faithfulness?
Yeah.
On to goodness. So point number two, goodness. So that's rooted in the dark soil of a broken world. So in a broken world, cynicism often feels safer than hope. But goodness dares to resist cynicism. So key thoughts about goodness. Goodness is not pretending the world isn't broken. It's choosing to live with integrity and compassion anyway. Christopher J. H. Wright writes that goodness is not naivete in the face of evil. It is the spirit-empowered refusal to let evil have the final word. So goodness, it keeps hearts tender when betrayal hardens them. And it refuses to shut down when the world grows cold. So Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." So we don't hide from reality, but we take refuge in the unchanging goodness of God. Christian Elizabeth Couch writes that when cynicism starts to creep in, it's a sign that we need deeper roots, not harder hearts. So goodness is a gritty, spirit-born conviction and a choice to believe God's light is stronger than the darkness.
How would you define goodness? Like, what does it mean to say that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness?
I was having that thought driving here. I was like, I don't really know 100%. Like, does it just mean being good, or is there something more to it than behavior?
Does anybody know the root word?
Good?
No, I meant...
hang on, man. This is a test.
Good comes from godly, right? Or
I don't know. Or like when this was written, and it wasn't written in English, what was the word?
I know, like, goodbye was a shortening of God be with you or God be with ye. Mm. So I'm guessing is good like just like, you know, it was when people spoke too fast and the word God came out weird and someone else heard it and translated it to their language. And so good is rooted in the word God, in which case it would just be godliness.
So I'm assuming dictionary.com. So this is the Oxford. So it says the quality of being morally good or virtuous.
Yeah. I would have gone with like virtuous or something along those lines. Yeah. Virtue.
Yeah.
Like to be a good man would be the idea of being full of virtues that even the world would say are good. So I think we'd all argue that there is an objective moral reality that exists outside of humanity, which is why we're not relativists. And so the manifestation of being what is universally understood as a moral man or woman would also be synonymous with being a good man or woman.
Yeah.
As close as that I could get in my definition.
It's interesting how we hear these words and we say these words. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to define them apart from the word, right?
The word is the definition.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think that's something to think of too.
It is because then if you're allowing your cultural moment to define a word, then the question is does the culture get it right? You know, or does the word that we're using so good to us has a pretty, I think, clear meaning because we run in Christian circles, we input Christian content, we read Christian Bible, but goodness could run afoul if your goodness is rooted in something that isn't objective and outside of yourself. Yeah. It's just like saying my truth. It'd be like saying like my truth and my goodness. This is my goodness. This is what me.
Yeah.
This is what I think is good. Also, it's good for me. And then the Bible will say over and over again, what is good is to do what's best for your neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's Philippians 2. So even goodness is not even goodness for ourselves, but it's goodness for those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's, you know, love doesn't consider itself. Man, I'm losing it. That's 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know. It's something though. But yeah, that word's funny to me because I think it's the one that we run the risk of, like, if we don't clearly define good,
Yeah.
We don't clearly understand what that's meant. But I would say moral, virtuous.
Yeah.
You're a virtuous human.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think goodness, it shouldn't change when our culture changes. And it shouldn't be redefined. Because like you did say, like, it runs the risk of being twisted. We've seen that. We've seen the seven deadly sins through the seven deadly sins series that we like those things have become truth, or those things have become the virtues rather than the vices or the sins. And I think understanding and being able to define these words so that we're clear, not that we're clear, but that we know where our foundation is. I think it will help us through our walks with God every day. Like being virtuous, that's an older word that no one really uses much anymore. But I think it's just treating the people around you the way you want to be treated, right?
It's a safe one.
Yeah.
So it's like, also biblical.
It's biblical. So it's like, oh, if I don't want to come to Jim and when I see him, smack him, right?
Preferably not.
Yeah, preferably not.
I mean,
right?
It depends on what he did first.
Because I wouldn't want someone to do that. I wouldn't want Jim to do that to me. So I would think that would be a good thing, right? It'd be a self-control thing to not come and hit Jim for no reason.
I like that rule.
Yeah.
So that's the negative side of it. What about the positive side of it? Like what in the word goodness are we holding to from a nostalgia standpoint that isn't necessarily good? So what has our culture said that is good that we've bought that would be a virtuous thing, but maybe isn't a virtuous thing? I mean, I don't have any examples, but I think it's got to cut two ways, right? It can't just be, well, everything that we don't like and that we don't think is virtuous, that's not virtuous. But other things that we consider virtue that we shouldn't. And so as I'm thinking about it out loud, and I don't mean, I'll throw one thing out, and I think Jim's got something. I think about stoic manliness that is not in tune with emotions, manliness that maybe wouldn't be comfortable with being gentle or kind. Clint Eastwood. Yeah, Clint Eastwood type. Sure. I mean, that's something that I think everyone would say Clint Eastwood. I mean, or think of like a Western movie, like they're virtuous because they stand up, they have their own code. But the question is, what if the code, you know, like shooting a guy that looks at me funny, not a great code, but you know, some of those Westerns are like, hey, you don't do this, you don't do that. And if you do this, I take vengeance. Well, that's not virtuous per the Bible. Taking your own vengeance is not what the Bible calls for. So that's one potential thought that's rattling in my head. But Jim, I kind of stepped on, you're going to hop in.
No, you're good. And that was good. I think we use nice in place of honesty. And that's not helpful to anybody. And I'm not talking about being brutal with your honesty. I'm not, you know, going out of my way to hurt somebody being honest. But if I'm nice and I'm not honest, I create other problems down the road. Mm. I think in our culture, we're at a place where we believe that breaking the rules is okay as long as the outcome's okay. And you see that all the time. Old movie, Free Willy. Right?
We talked about
that. Broke all kinds of rules. Yeah. But that's okay because we freed Willy.
When I talked about that last week, I legitimately I just wanted to sink and be like, why did I never think of this? Why have I never noticed
In Toy Story, I think it's on the porch. So we're going to have to break a few rules, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
My wife used to sing the song from Little Mermaid.
A Whole New World?
Look at all my stuff song. When she's singing about all her treasures and things. And like afterwards, she's like, because she's singing that to her girls. And then she's like, I used to love this song, but this is really, this is awful. And it's from a movie that's about disobeying your dad. And like, it's like everything in that movie is celebrating is like loving your stuff and then being like extremely obstinate and disobedient. And then a bunch of bad things happen to you.
Yeah.
But that's not related.
That's not related. No.
No.
It made me think of, I had recorded a video this week. I haven't put it up or anything like that, but it's like, It's that idiom that I've heard and I've said of, well, I'll just ask God for forgiveness later after I do this action, or I say this harsh thing that I think is true to somebody else, because it's like, well, they need to know. They have to know how I see it. And so I'm going to be harsh and say the wrong thing, but I'll just ask God for forgiveness later.
You can still tell them in love.
In love. Yeah, love and gentleness. Yeah. But it's
what,
like,
that's a whole nother can of worms. Yeah. In love. What does that mean? So you're a sinner. You're going to go someplace you don't want to go.
Well, I wouldn't. It's not even necessarily that. Let's talk Christian to Christian.
Yeah.
They're living in deliberate sin, and mm-hmm. they need to know they're living in deliberate sin. They're doing something that's harmful to themselves or their friends or whatever. Telling them in love that what they're doing is wrong is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I understand what you're saying. But
are you going to enjoy it a little bit?
Me?
That's all I'm saying.
I don't tell people what they're doing wrong very often because I.
Not a Bryce. Sorry.
Gives this idea of tenderness and gentleness, coming alongside of, having a calm conversation, choosing your words carefully.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought put into it. But just coming to somebody saying, man, you're screwed up. I'm doing it because I love you, right?
Ooh.
No, you're not. If you love me, you take the time to do it right.
It's like, hey, right. I love
you.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. But we sometimes say, I did it in love.
You did it quick because you wanted to get home.
Yeah. Well, Gideon, my oldest son and I, we're going through how to listen and how to be kind. We do a Bible study on Saturdays. And today was James 1:19. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I'm like, I failed at this pretty miserably all day today. And I'm like, I was very slow to listen to you, and I was very quick to become angry. And I'm like, that's not a good thing. And what we need to be, hopefully, not striving, not out of like willpower, but hopefully to become listeners and to think before we speak. Even when we're trying to be honest with our friends or our spouses or our children, like, are my words going to be edifying to God and to the person I'm talking to? Because I want them to be encouraged. I want them to grow. And maybe they aren't seeing what I see, and maybe I'm wrong too. So I think it's coming through the angle of like, hey, I'm concerned. Let's talk this out. I want what's best for you, just like you would want what's best for me.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Start with a question.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, this is a little practical application of that. I very frequently, like if one of my girls is acting up or being a little crazy, one of my first things is, what is wrong tonight? Like, that's just like the thought that pops in my head. But then like, I've tried to put a little flag on that phrase that whenever it comes out of my mouth, I should actually think about it. What's wrong tonight? And like, maybe you don't want to brush your teeth yet because you didn't eat a lot of dinner and you're still hungry or something like that. You know, just something, because my girls know that they don't eat after they brush their teeth. And, I've read Winnie a story and I'm tucking her in and she keeps trying to find other excuses for me to not like leave yet. And my first thought is you just don't want to go to bed. Calm down, just go to bed. And then, we kind of stop and I backtrack a little. It's like, I'll actually ask her, it's like, hey, why do you not want Dad to leave yet? And there's usually something. Mm. And it's been a parenting game changer.
Yeah.
And I think it probably would work for other conversations and relationships as well. And it's, I mean, like, it kind of, I accidentally got there to quick to listen, a little bit. And so, yeah, just like just seeing that in motion a little bit recently. That's really cool.
Praise the Lord.
It's not me. I'm not bragging. I'm saying it's God working in it. And
oh, working in
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like gentleness has a lot to do with goodness.
Yeah.
I was actually going to read about, so whenever you talk about nice, Jim, I always appreciate that because I think there are two texts I think of when I think about correcting someone. Because that's essentially the question is how can we be good and kind when kind's next week? And maybe I'm going too early on this.
No.
But who remembers a Bible verse 2 weeks later? So we'll be able to read it again. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. So correcting his opponents with gentleness, not necessarily believers. It's an opponent. Someone that's opposed to, in this case, Timothy, a pastor.
Yeah.
So you don't. There's no out clause here. Like, you notice how like so many of the fruits of the Spirit are in there. You must not be quarrelsome, kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Patiently enduring evil is a negative of goodness, right? So evil versus good. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. And then the other one is Galatians, which is just like in the next chapter when in chapter 6 it says, for those of you who are spiritual, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch over yourself. So there's really no scenario that I can see where if we're correcting either an unbeliever who's an opponent or a fellow believer who's trapped in a sin, the message is do it in gentleness. So gentleness has to be able to speak truth. Gentleness has to be able to say, hey, there's something wrong here. Hey, there's a standard of God, a command of God you're not hitting. So that's in there, but it has to be gentle. Like, we don't get to say, to Jim's point, well, I came in love and I said in love. No, you said it kind of like you were just not very kind or very gentle. And it doesn't sound like we have much leeway in this to be able to say, well, this was the time that I could be unkind or not gentle because the sin's so egregious. Well, hold on now. Like, what do we learn from parenting? Like, that's a great example. Parenting says, if you walk up to your kid and said, I can't believe you could ever do this. Really? Really? Because we do the same thing 1,000 times a day. We're sinners too.
Yeah. But
to look at I can't believe I have a kid that would ever say or do or be this. You are that most of the time.
Where do you think it comes out?
Quit being me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would you stop being be better than me?
It comes out.
Gentleness is part of goodness, and kindness will be too when we get to that.
Mm-hmm. I think all these things that we're addressing. But I think the reaction to those things are good. We want our children to be good humans, to treat others well, and to hopefully, if we give them another step that we didn't have, they'll be better off than we were, right? I think there's that rat race to be the best, and so I think sometimes we push our kids down with that. But coming on to that parenting thing, like, no, I want my kids to be, good. I don't, and not just correct the behavior. Like, I want goodness to be in them. I want it to ooze out of them, and that they treat people with respect, with kindness, with goodness. I think we want that for ourselves because it's never too late to change. We all can have, like, this all can change us now. And we can work towards those good things that God promises us and that God gives us freely as we ask, right? So how...
Hang on, I just thought before we go on.
Okay.
Goodness is telling us that we have to live moral lives as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Amoral Christians are not filled with the Spirit. If we don't live a virtuous life, we are... stunting, we're quenching the Spirit, or we're grieving the Spirit, as it says in the New Testament. If we're not living a moral, upright life, a good life, we are stunting the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which again is why in 2 Peter 1, where it says, if these attributes are yours and increasing, and if they're not increasing, you need to check yourself. You might be wrecking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we're not living a virtuous life to the standards of what the world says. It's what the word says.
Right. And not under our own power, right? Because the fruit of the Spirit, a moral, virtuous life is a gift that is cultivated by us, but never delivered on or disciplined by us.
Oh, yeah. And because it's the fruits, it's the God-given gifts of the fruits of the Spirit that are changing us, not to make us someone else, but to make Brandon more filled with the Spirit and more in tune with these fruits of the Spirit, the way that I was created. And so it'll, we won't do everything the same, but it'll be like my personality will come out with goodness and kindness, the way that God created me to be. I think we forget that we're not supposed to meet, like, I'm not supposed to be like Brett, right?
No one should be like Brett. That's a very fair
or like goal. Andrew, or like, I'm supposed to be like Jesus.
Right.
And but God created me uniquely. And so these fruits of the Spirit will be presented differently. But hopefully pointing back to the maker of the fruits.
So that causes us to, it shoots down church culture. We no longer have to all be the same, look the same, act the same. Hey, you don't do this. You know, on Wednesdays, we all do this. On Thursdays, we go here. On there, we all wear this tie. I mean, all that stuff goes away because the manifestations of the Spirit are not homogenous. They're like what you said. So we don't have to follow church culture either.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of times the stuff gets beaten down into like, well, this is what a virtuous Christian looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do these things, go these places. You don't do the, and then that's not the standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book of Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set you free.
Yeah.
You're free to be you.
Yeah. So how do faithfulness and goodness go together? And so faithfulness and goodness are not standalone traits. They grow best together, each feeding the other. So faithfulness is the consistency of our trust in God, and goodness is the expression of that trust in how we live and love. And so you can't have true goodness without faithfulness, because without deep roots in God, our attempts at goodness wilt in the face of pressure. And so you can't have true faithfulness without goodness, because a steadfast heart will eventually spill over into acts of love, justice, and compassion. Micah 6:8 says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So that's faithfulness and goodness woven together, walking humbly, faithfulness, while doing justice and loving mercy, which is goodness. Christian Elizabeth Couch writes that faithfulness to God bears the fruit of goodness in the world. And when we stay rooted in him, that flows from us, and it can resist the decay around us. So together, they show the world what God's heart looks like. So it's steady in a world of inconsistency, compassionate in a world of cruelty, and true in a world of spin and shadows. So closing, faithfulness and goodness are not human achievements. They are evidence of Spirit deep roots growing even when you don't feel it. So even when the soil feels silent or lifeless, God is working. The Spirit is forming something holy, lasting, and true beneath the surface. So remember, even here and even now and even in the dark, that these fruits of the Spirit are changing you, and they're taking root down deep into your soul, and you will become more like these when you trust in God, and when you trust that although I am flawed and although I fail, God is working in me. And I might not see it or feel it sometimes, but I know it to be true. And so that's why we stay faithful. That's why we still keep doing good things.
Using the imagery of John, right? As a branch, we stay connected to the vine, then we will produce fruit. And so that fruit is there because I am connected, right? And I think that's really important. And then that was 2 Peter you were reading, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think he gives us a little measuring tool in verse 9, I think it's in, where he says, if you're not growing like this,
yeah,
you might be in trouble. That's kind of the words you used, I think. And I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Am I growing? Not are you growing? Am I growing like that?
Always starts with us. And it's that speck in the plank, right? I can see you, your speck, forgetting my plank is smacking everyone around me. Right? Because I'm like, oh, I'm just as bad as you in a different way, in a very unique way to myself, right? And so I think we're all on an equal playing field. But we're all on an equal playing field to have those fruits cultivated too. One's not better than the other. We're all on a different path. We're all further along in that path, hopefully, than some others. But then that means that the ones that are further along can come around to the ones that aren't as far along to help them and to show them the way. Bryce, you got some stuff for us?
Sure.
Do you have more stuff for us?
I don't have anything else to say.
All right. That's it for this episode.
Wait, I got one more thing. No, I don't. Go ahead.
Brent is a beautiful being. All right. If you're not following us yet, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, we are on all of those platforms. We're probably saying or doing something stupid, getting us in trouble. That's okay. Right now, it's mostly Brandon. So.
Because that's goodness.
If you guys want to show support, by the time this episode drops, definitely OutsidersStudios.com is up and running. There are membership options on there. Go ahead and check out all of those. If you want to just stay in touch with us, if you want to have some insider behind-the-scenes action, some extra content, all of that will be in the membership stuff. If you want to go check that out, that'd be super awesome. Elect Exiles, which is Brett's podcast. It's got, again, solid theology, clear thinking, and it's definitely worth your time. Still on sabbatical?
Always on sabbatical.
Always on sabbatical.
I'll be back. Brandon's... I think I'm going to tie in some of this stuff.
Oh, beautiful.
So we're kind of waiting on it.
Brandon's Substack drops twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. So go ahead and check out everything he's dropping there.
Especially the comments. I'm a hot taker.
Hot taker on the comments.
Just kidding. Not really.
Also, for me, it was this last week. For you guys, it'll be a while ago. Twice a week, I'm dropping all of our older episodes onto YouTube. If you want to check us out there.
Won't be able to see us.
Not yet.
But you'll be able to hear it.
Eventually.
Soon.
Eventually. Well, let's not promise anything.
Sooner now than when we recorded it. Hey, we talked about,
sometimes the biblical soon is still thousands of years.
Beautiful. Yeah, so check us out on there. Drop some comments and on any platform that you listen to us on. YouTube, drop us some comments. If you guys want to send us messages directly on our website, you can do it there. We love to get in touch. Love to have some conversations. So
buy a t-shirt.
Can't wait.
Yes.
There is merch. Pretty excited about the merch. My beard's caught in my microphone.
I'm replacing all of my black t-shirts with black Outsiders t-shirts. That's all I'm going to wear.
Which actually has a lot of color in it. So,
except the Deep Roots one doesn't have any black t-shirts.
Yeah, there's no black. I didn't think that would work.
That was weird.
It looks cool. It doesn't matter.
It looks
makes
great.
Makes it.
But yeah. That's,
I'm not in the loop. I'm not seeing it. Okay.
I'll show you.
You don't shop online on our website, don't you?
I don't shop online, period.
That's all the things. Awesome. So appreciate you listening. Appreciate your... contributions. Appreciate all the content or all the communication.
Yeah.
So can't wait to continue having all the things happen.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Speaking of, if you want to leave us messages, we would also really love if you needed prayer, send it through that too. If we saw prayer requests come in, we would definitely pray for them together.
100%.
Yeah. We don't want you to just buy stuff from us. Like, we want you to know that we're partnering with you too. So if there's something going on in your life, let us know. We would gladly partner with you in prayer.
Absolutely.
Because we appreciate you. We would not be where we are at without our listeners, wherever you are, and even the ones in France. So my heart will grow warm to you, France, one of these days.
We understand sometimes you're born where you're born.
It's not your fault. Well, we us four understand.
Yeah. Yes.
Brandon's growing on it.
I'm growing. I need to be more kind.
That'd be
that's in a couple weeks.
That's a couple weeks out.
Is it? No.
Next week.
Yeah, it's this is kindness.
Nope.
You just did kindness, right?
Faithfulness and goodness.
Oh, shoot.
Were you here?
I'm ahead. I'm a minute ahead.
You just appear out of nowhere. Hey, no, you got it wrong.
All right.
But I have a therapist for that.
Lord, when the way feels long and the soil feels dry, teach us to remain faithful. When the world tempts us toward cynicism and hardness, root us deeper into your goodness. Grow in us a steady trust and a courageous hope. Let our lives quietly testify to your spirit at work, bearing fruit that lasts. Amen.
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 Thanks, guys, for listening. I appreciate you.
Peace.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.